Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Lord, as we look to this word this morning, we pray that these things, especially the root of bitterness, would be put away from us, and that we would be filled with kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, that in all things your grace might be shown to triumph in our lives and in this church. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we say bitter fruit, what fruit do you think of? Which one? How many thought lemon? Nobody? Okay. Some did. Some thought lemon. What ones did you think of? Grapefruit? I don't know. By the way, some places you get grapefruit, they're very sweet. They're not bitter at all. But most of the ones you get in the United States tend to be on the bitter side. Any other ones? Okay, so if you suck a lemon, maybe some of you like sucking lemons. I don't know. You just poke a hole in it and suck on the lemon. Suck a lemon kind of makes you pucker and all that. Within the next 2 minutes after you suck a lemon, how many of you like having a drink of milk? Oh. Bitterness has a pervasive effect, doesn't it? And bitterness in your life can keep you from receiving the pure milk of the Word of God. There's something to think about. So we have a sense of what bitterness is. Now, in our passage this morning, there are first six more things in verse 31 to put off. We've been learning about putting things off, or in the words of verse 31, laying them aside or putting them away. Verse 22 says, lay them aside. And we've been looking at Paul's list of issues that are things that we must lay aside, put off in our lives. Like falsehood, verse 25. Anger, verse 26, giving the devil an opportunity, verse 27, stealing, verse 28, unwholesome words, verse 29, grieving the Holy Spirit, verse 30. We've looked at all of those. This morning, we see six more. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. Put those off. Put those aside. You'll remember in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with all its evil practices. Laying them aside. Now, this morning in verse 31, bitterness heads up this list of six things to put aside. And there's a reason for that, and the reason is important. Bitterness, the Greek word pikria, animosity, harshness, a sour attitude. And you all said you know what bitter fruit is, what, you know. So now this applies to your attitude. A sour, bitter person that we're talking about. Bitterness is pervasive. Acts chapter 8, verse 23. Peter is talking to Simon the former sorcerer who was saved out of that. But Simon still was struggling with something. And Peter said to him, I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. So for Simon, bitterness was like a poison, the gall of bitterness. Bitterness brought bondage. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Paul says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Bitterness is contrary to the grace of God. If you are struggling with bitterness, you do not understand the grace of God. You don't. You're falling short of the grace of God. Now, if you're saved, If you're a believer, you know that all of the riches of the grace of God, Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, right? All of the riches of God's grace are yours. Well, then, what room is there in your life as a believer for bitterness? There's no room. If you're bitter as a believer, you're forgetting Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. You're not realizing who you are in Christ. You're falling short of the grace of God. Notice also in Hebrews 12, 15, bitterness can be a root. A root. That is, bitterness can be something that then produces other things, like wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. Bitterness can produce all those things and more. A bitter root produces bitter fruit. Okay? It's a root in your life. Don't let it be there. Don't let it spring up. And bitterness causes trouble. And bitterness defiles many. Well, that's just, it's just my problem. It's just my problem. It's between me and God. No, it's never just between you and God. It always affects others. Bitterness defiles many, not just yourself. So it's always a relational matter. Always. So put away bitterness. It's a root problem. Bitterness, Ephesians 4:31, leads to wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. But Paul's not implying here that you can't be angry without bitterness. But he is implying that bitterness will lead to anger. And it does. To wrath, thumos, which can be wild rage or passionate outbursts of anger. You say, well, I would never do those things. But indignation, to be just indignant, is wrath. Anger, orge, it's the same word that we saw back in verse 26 when he said, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. This can even be a seething animosity. Anger. Do you see how bitterness will produce that? Bitterness leads to something that seethes inside of us. Clamor, which can be shouting or quarreling. You say, well, I only do that in a low tone of voice. Okay, but it's still quarreling. And slander, which is the word blasphemia, basically the English word blaspheme, to slander, to revile, to denigrate, saying things about others that would be, in some sense, denigrating of them, tearing them down. Or malice, kakia, which is malignity, evil speech, ill will. So you can see bitterness affects the way you talk and the way you treat one another. Therefore, Paul says, put it away. Don't leave any room for bitterness. Now, because bitterness is a root, sometimes people say, well, I just can't help it. You know, I have this bitterness in me, and I just can't help it. We won't take time. We could, especially in the book of Proverbs, and many of you have seen that with us. There are things that lead to bitterness, like loss, hurt, being mistreated, unmet expectations, broken promises, abuse, all sorts of things, injustice done against you, broken dreams, disappointments in life, unrealized desires. Those things can bring bitterness. What's Paul saying? Don't let that happen. Say, well, I can't control those broken dreams and all of that. No, but you can control the way you think about it and the way you respond to it. Don't let that happen. Put it off. Now, there are also, in verse 32, three more things to put on. We've been looking at things that Paul says to put on. In verse 32, this is captured by the word be at the beginning of verse 32. Be, or be being. And be being is in reference to one another. Be kind to one another, forgiving each other. So be being, be putting this on. Remember verse 24 said, put on the new self. Put on the new self. This is the new man in Christ. This is who you are as a believer. This is your identity in Christ. Who you are and what you have in Christ. If you are not putting on these things in verse 32, you are forgetting who you are in Jesus. Because who you are in Jesus is kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Who you are in Jesus is not bitter, angry, clamorous, slanderous, hateful, malicious. That's not who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ is kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. So put that on. Remember who you are in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a new renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, that's who you are in Christ, chosen of God, holy, that's who you are in Christ, beloved, that's who you are in Christ. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Put on those things. Why? That's who you are. To not put on forgiveness or kindness or love is to contradict your identity of who you are in Jesus. It is. So stop doing it the other way and put on these things. Be kind to one another, verse 32. Be kind, it's krestoi. Be benevolent or gracious or giving or loving. Kindness, by the way, is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Put on kindness. Kindness. You can't be bitter and be kind at the same time. You know that? Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted is an interesting word. Eusplagznoi. It doesn't actually mean tender-hearted. It actually means tender-gutted. Splagznoi is not heart. There's a different Greek word for heart. It means intestines or guts. Be tender-hearted. It's literally with healthy intestines. Another way of thinking about this is bitterness will give you ulcers, won't it? Bitterness will eat you out from the inside. Tender-hearted is to say there's no bitterness there eating you out. You are good gutted toward one another. Compassionate, merciful toward one another. So have good guts in relationship to each other. Tender-hearted. Say, well, I just have a gut feeling about that person. Well, make sure that that gut feeling is a compassionate, loving, kind, gracious one. And be forgiving. Forgiving each other. Now, the word forgiving in verse 32, it's interesting. There are actually a couple different words in the New Testament for forgive. This is one of them. This word, charizomenoi, it actually comes from, you should all be aware of this word, it comes from the Greek word charis, grace. Charizomenoi is showing grace, forgiving in the sense of freely pardoning, forgiving in the sense of forgiving graciously, freely, not, well, I'll forgive them if, but forgiving them graciously. So, forgiving each other. Now, forgiving is very important. It's extremely important in the context of dealing with bitterness. Bitterness, you just have to let it go. You have to put it away. Let it go. Put it off. And sometimes letting it go, and we're going to see this in a moment, is the same thing as forgiving. Forgiveness. Let it go. The importance of forgiving each other. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 12, Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts, sinful infractions, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. That statement by Jesus is the only statement in this teaching model prayer that Jesus gives that warrants further explanation, which is what Jesus gives in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, where Jesus said, if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Okay? This is not, Jesus isn't teaching or talking about anyone's salvation here. But he is talking about everyone's experience of forgiveness. And if you do not forgive others, will you experience forgiveness? No, you won't. By the way, even if you have it, you might have forgiveness from God, but you won't experience forgiveness from God if you harbor unforgiveness against anyone else. Well, that's pretty important, isn't it? Because your freedom to walk in Christ without bitterness depends on forgiving. And it affects your prayer life. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Literally, they will be yours. Okay? Do you like verse 24? You like verse 24, don't you? Come on. It's a great promise. All things, whatever you're praying for and asking, Jesus said, believe in advance that you have already received them and they'll be yours. That's a great promise. Now, is that an unconditional promise? Nope. That's a conditional promise. Because what happens in verse 25? Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Very similar to what we saw in Matthew 6, only now in a different context. When you do not forgive, it affects whether you get answers to your prayers. Jesus promised, you know, believe it, you'll have it. Okay? But I believed it, so why don't I have it? Maybe there's something going on. There's unforgiveness, there's bitterness in there, and you know what? Your faith is affected by your bitterness. Your prayer life is affected by your bitterness, unforgiveness. Those things go together, and we need to be understanding of the importance of this. Forgiving each other affects the prayer life. It affects your faith. It affects your ability to believe and accept God's promises and His Word, just like drinking the milk 90 seconds after sucking on the lemon makes it so that you don't receive the milk very well. So bitterness and unforgiveness make it so that you don't really receive the Word very well. Say, but I'm reading my Bible every day. Yeah, and you just have bitterness filling your heart. What in the world is going on? You might be reading it, but you're not getting it, and you're not believing it, and you're certainly not applying it. Now, the basis for forgiving each other, Ephesians 4:32, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Has Christ forgiven you? Yeah, that's part of your identity in Christ, isn't it? Go back to Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. All of that is ours in Christ. That's the basis for forgiveness. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul put it this way. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He's taken that out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Well, we're glad about that, aren't we? Christ forgave on the cross all of my sins, past, present, and future, were all nailed to the cross, taken by Jesus, and sent away from me. They are no longer mine. They were put on Him. I'm forgiven. Completely. Graciously. Was I forgiven on the basis of any condition for me? No. Say, well, you'll be forgiven if you do this and if you do this. You'll be forgiven if you confess. No. I was forgiven. Completely, totally forgiven. That's great, isn't it? That's the basis for our forgiving each other in verse 32. Forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. If you say, I just cannot forgive that person. I can't forgive what they've done. I can't forgive that person. Then you have forgotten who you are in Christ. Come on. What if Jesus forgives you the same way you forgive other people? Wouldn't you say, I think I'd be in deep trouble? Jesus forgives by grace. It's gracious. He forgives. We should forgive each other the way Christ forgives us. Say, well, but if I do that, then they're going to get away with it. Not your problem. Not your problem. Your problem is to make sure you don't let any root of bitterness spring up in you, cause trouble within yourself, and defile others. That's your problem. Make sure you're not doing that, and forgiving others the way Christ has forgiven them is the way you deal with it. It is. As long as you're holding on, you say, but I have good reasons not to forgive them, and I know I'm right, and you know what? You may well have good reasons, and you may even be right, but do you realize you're hurting yourself? You're letting a root of bitterness spring up in you. Well, but I have to hold them accountable. Oh, well, who put you in charge of the universe? The Lord will do a perfectly good job of holding anybody accountable who needs to be held accountable. The Lord will do that. Be kind to one another. Have good guts toward each other. Forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. And then you won't have to worry about sucking lemons. Just drink the milk. Heavenly Father, we pray today that anyone who is soured, that they might have the poison of that released from them. Anyone who's in bondage, that they might be set free. Anyone who's just struggling under the weight of these things, that they might know your free, pardoning grace. Lord, you know our hurts. You know our unmet expectations. You know the times we've been mistreated. You know our broken dreams and all of that. Lord, you know it all. And you still promise that you cause all things to work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, Lord, we take that. We claim that today. And Lord, we release, maybe there's right now someone just, Lord, between themselves and you saying, I'm just going to let it all go. I'm going to let the scorecard go. I'm going to let holding someone else accountable go. I'm just going to let it all go. Because, Lord, I want to know and experience the freedom of forgiveness, of putting on this new person. And maybe that's even someone this morning who has never believed Jesus before for their salvation. Lord, may they believe even now that Christ died to accomplish their forgiveness, that Christ is alive and is holding that out, all of the benefits of eternal life and forgiveness, holding that out right now. And Lord, may they just take it, receive it. So, Lord, in all of this, we thank you that you have given us today truth. And the truth, knowing the truth, sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen.